people. It's Starship, Roque on Show with Anna DeBlancis off for another day of broadcast. It's a
momentous day because sometime this evening, the presidential summit will occur in Singapore.
9 o'clock Chicago time. They will be 8 o'clock Chicago time, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah.
I do everything in Eastern time because, you know, Anderson tells me to do it.
Central Standard's the GOAT time zone, in my opinion.
I really think so,
greatest
too.
Of all time.
Is,
you get the noon kickoff on Sunday, it's perfect.
Yeah. It only matters if it happens on the East Coast.
Please. That's what they claim. But I think I think for exactly Kevin's... You know, Kevin, when I was a young boy, Bears games did start at 1.
Interesting.
When I was very young. Then they unified it to have all the kickoffs start at the same time. I think solely for the betters. And
noon's easy to keep track of.
Noon's
really
is. It's a right solid time for kickoff. I mean, West Coast, you're dealing with like a 10 a.m. kickoff.
No, you can't. I mean, how do you even go get beer and be ready for the game? And
the brats won't be ready by then.
That's right. It just noon's wrong. Perfect.
That's why the NFL is not as big a play on the West Coast, because it happens in the morning. Hmm. You know, all the early games happen in the morning there.
Yeah. Noon's perfect. Yeah. You're done by 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sometimes you're done by 1:15
midway through the first quarter.
Speaking of football, didn't Northwestern get a big pickup? I saw.
Yeah,
you,
this is huge news. Actually, Hunter Johnson, quarterback, transferring from Clemson. He was the top-rated quarterback in the 2017 high school class in the entire nation. He'll be the quarterback. He have to sit out a year when he transfer in college sports, but in 2019 he'll likely be the starting quarterback.
Go Cats! Yeah.
See, now
one
that's
ranked.
That I hate that you have to wait out a year.
I know.
Yeah, so. I think they do it to try to cut down on shady stuff, backroom stuff, as if that already isn't in NCAA. But they don't want coaches poaching players and things like that. But
I hope he does well in his organic chemistry class this semester at Northwestern, coming from Clemson. How's that going to go?
Shows what that new facility's doing for the Cats, though, right? You got to figure that factor into this.
Yeah. Did he specifically mention
Hunter,
Fitzgerald?
Let's take you on a walk through our brand new facility. Yeah. Oh, there's Lake Michigan. Here's your own personal beach.
Yeah.
State-of-the-art everything.
And I'm guessing they don't do that in the winter, right? They sort of do the July visit, the August, late early September.
Yeah. And when are they going to redo Dyke Stadium, or whatever it's called now?
Ryan Field. They haven't announced an official date, but they said in the near future. So now that this new training facility is done and complete, they can kind of
and the basketball stadium is done.
They'll be ready for next season. Yeah.
Which is going to be, I cannot wait.
That's going to be
for
awesome.
I know it, me either. Yeah.
That is especially for people like Mr. Cat, Dave Bennett, and all of everybody on our broadcast crew who have to be out there. It makes all the difference in the world to make that into a real facility, not just a glorified high school gym, which is what it was forever.
Yep. No question.
Are they adding bathrooms? There's two things they got to do.
You're so fixated on the bathroom.
Excuse me.
It is tough. You got to look.
You think it's hard for you? Try being a woman in a stadium.
Who isn't? I sit down. The reality is that it is. Everybody thinks that. I mean, come on. When you go to a stadium, doesn't everybody in their head, when they're walking in the stadium, go, God, I hope I don't have to go to the bathroom? Or what? You know, it comes into your
yourself,
head.
You start stressing about when you're going to go and when the peak times are, and gosh, I don't want to go
Well,
then.
You're at least not drinking, so that helps a little bit.
Well, that's going to be changing.
Can they bring some drinks there?
Well, that's going to be changing, I think.
Well, they tailgate before.
Yeah, at Northwestern especially.
No one invited me to a tailgate.
I have to say that I would always go to the Ohio State Northwestern game up there every year it was in, and we'd go
so fun.
Oh my God! And listen, if you have a school that you're a fan of or you went to that comes into Northwestern, it was always the party of it was 2/3 them,
you know
1/3 Northwestern. The Northwestern
big state schools would just fill up the stadium.
Right. Michigan, Wisconsin.
Their schedule this year is unbelievable. Notre Dame is in town this year.
Yeah,
Notre Dame there, Michigan, Nebraska, huge fan base. Wisconsin will be here.
Yeah. Those are all those teams all travel. The Iowa, the Ohio State, any Big Ten team with a gigantic traveling base, it is so much fun. And the only people there are like 5 or 6 well-heeled alumni, and the students aren't there, and the faculty, and they all sing the Go Northwestern song on what is it called?
It's like Northwestern.
Go You North. Yes. Yeah, my mom sings that song. Like, and I'm like, really? So. They have this
Go Northwestern, go. Or go U Northwestern as well.
Go U Northwestern, yes. Mm-hmm. and they know all the words. And then it's like this quiet little thing, like a little chorus in the side. And then everybody else is wearing, like the Iowa people are wearing black and yellow overalls.
Gold, black and gold.
Black and yellow overalls.
Gold.
They look like
and those overalls
bees.
Are fun.
Well,
yeah, they're dumb. No, they're really dumb.
That saves you from having to go to the bathroom because here's the thing. So during an Ohio State game, I don't know, four seasons ago, mm-hmm. whatever it was, I go to the bathroom at halftime.
Right.
I didn't get back until the start of the fourth quarter.
Were you socializing?
No.
Yeah.
Waiting in line?
Yeah.
At the men's room?
Are you blaming the overalls?
It gets a little cramped.
No, I wasn't wearing overalls. Besides, Ohio State fans don't wear overalls.
I said, were you blaming the overalls from Iowa because it takes so much longer
to wait for those folks?
No, yeah. No, I wasn't. But it was an Ohio State game. But that's the...
You know, when I hear a guy complain about that, I'm like,
exactly right.
Try being
a girl.
You
know what? Yes. We have bladders, too. All right, hold on.
Have you seen the lines outside the women's rooms versus the men's rooms?
People,
please.
I need you to pay attention. We have a world here to run.
I know we do.
And we have got we got a lot coming up here.
Go Cats though.
Ben
Go Cats.
It is fun.
Oh.
It is
exciting
fun.
Stuff.
Yes. And I really do and then you go over to the Bluestone before, during or after the game. As I go over there to use the bathroom.
Get back in the stadium.
Sometimes
you don't.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes you got to gag.
All right.
You know, you got to work it out.
Okay.
Anyway, the point here is that it's going to be very fun. I can't wait for them to redo that stadium because when they redo that stadium it's going to be sick.
And another game at Wrigley coming up.
Yeah.
Just announced. That'll be cool.
They'll do a great job at that stadium. And then Northwestern is a program that the nation will be paying attention to, I think, for football.
Just the fact that they got this star quarterback is huge.
Yeah. And I think if they can get the stadium kind of fixed. Just to ask anybody in the press what they think about that elevator at the stadium where they take it up to the press. And they go, well, why don't you just walk the stairs? You know why? Because the press box at... Uh-huh. The stadium in Evanston is the second largest structure behind the Sears Tower here in Chicago.
It takes like an hour to get up there.
Yeah.
Workout, though, if you have your little Fitbit on.
If you get right, exactly. All right, let's check in here with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
All eyes on Singapore.
Let's check in with Violetta, who's upset now that Singapore, she's getting all this attention.
All eyes over there.
Division rivals, they're getting together, and there's only one thing to do, crush it. Tuesday night baseball, White Sox Indians, Tuesday at 7 on WGN-TV.
All right. It's Dr. Ben Bradley is over the WGN-TV newsroom right now. Karen Travers from ABC News is going to join us coming up after Judy's news at the bottom of the hour, live from Singapore, where the president is now just a few hours away from meeting with Kim Jong-un. Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
Never thought I would say those words, but no. I just did. All right, here you go, Ben. What's going on tonight?
You know, we've got an interesting piece coming up tonight at 9 o'clock. A decade ago, there was a very small community about an hour, hour and a half south of Chicago that was labeled one of the poorest communities in America. Oprah gave it some attention. Governor George Ryan tried to put a women's prison there, only to have that prison promise revoked a few years later when Rod Blagojevich came into office. So we went back to see, a decade later, all those promises made.
How much did Blagojevich want to put that in there? What did he want for that?
He's not giving it up for nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's effing golden, that prison. Yes, go ahead. So what's happened to Pembroke?
Well, a decade later, they have a relatively new mayor, a guy who grew up there, went out to California, was a corrections officer for years, and has come back to his hometown to try to make something of it. And as you can imagine, some people like it, some people don't. But there are roads out there that literally go to nowhere, a sign of broken promises, scattered pieces of sewer system as the work on the women's prison started and then abruptly stopped. There are homes there that not only don't have electricity, but also don't have running water. We encountered a gentleman who lives in, he calls it a garage, but there's no home attached to it, and it's kind of more or less a shed. And he's not the only one who lives without electricity, who lives without running water. But he says, he called himself, he said, you know, I'm not really poor. I'm what you would call rich poor. Because when I lived on the west side of Chicago, I didn't own any land. He said, this land, this is mine. It was passed down to me through my grandparents. I pay property taxes on it. And while I don't have electricity, I don't have sewer hookup. I'm proud that I do have a place to call my own. So we spent a good 24 hours down there kind of documenting life in a community that I think many would be hard to believe
exists
in this
right?
day and age. And we talk about some of the political promises that have been made, but also how this community has really hurt itself. A couple of the politicians have gone to jail over the years. Their books are still a mess. Even their village hall. You would not believe it. The walls are still standing, but the roof is partially caved in. There's water just dripping inside. And it's really symbolic of what has happened to this community. Currently, the state, we found, is withholding money from them because their books are in such bad
What's
shape.
What's it near?
It's about 20 minutes or so outside of Kankakee.
Wow.
So it's east of Kankakee.
Hmm.
It's in Kankakee County.
Okay, you know, so that's why George Ryan would have had an interest
close
in that.
To it,
yeah, well, you know, a lot of people have given this community attention. Oprah did a whole show in which she focused on Hopkins Park and Pembroke Township.
There was a People magazine piece, I think, several years ago also, and talking about a multimillionaire who had visited that town, I recall, and it seemed like, okay, now there's some hope. And there's sort of been those stops and starts along the way. Oh, now there's some hope. Or now there's an injection of something. Maybe there's a prison. Maybe there's this. And it just never has taken hold.
And as you can imagine, the people who live down there are understandably skeptical. Even of this mayor who was born and raised in this town has come back and he's bought up some properties and you know, this town might be small, but it's got, you know, the political turmoil of a big city like Chicago because you have people who are accusing the mayor of, you know, what little improvements in terms of infrastructure do happen down there. Oh, well, it's only happening for properties that the mayor has purchased. We get into all of it tonight at 9 o'clock.
All right. Thank you, Ben. We'll see you then.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Judah Pavlak's got WGN News coming your way in, too. Rokoncho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Now let's head out to Singapore where all the action is going to take place about 4 hours from now. Karen Travis for ABC News is there. And so 8 o'clock Chicago time, we're going to see Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump enter a room. Karen, can you set up for us a little bit here actually what we will be seeing?
So the president will meet one-on-one. First, we'll have a greeting at this five-star resort on Sentosa Island, just off of the city here in Singapore. It's a very fancy resort, and it's a very heavily secured area. So, you know, nobody is getting over there except the people involved in these meetings. Mm-hmm. We'll have a handshake. We'll see that around 8 o'clock p.m. your time. And then they'll have about a 45-minute meeting, just the two of them. And that's really remarkable. Usually you have senior aides in there. Not a huge meeting, but at least a couple people there to kick things off. It's just President Trump, Kim Jong-un, and their translators for about 45 minutes. Then they'll bring in their staff, senior officials from both sides, for about an hour and a half, according to the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll have a working lunch listed as President Trump and Kim Jong-un. And that's it. It's a one-day summit right now. There was, of course, some speculation, even by the president, that maybe this would expand into Wednesday. But the White House said things are progressing much more quickly than they expected, and they can get all of this done in just a couple of hours. A key thing to look for, the president's going to take questions from reporters overnight here in Singapore. And I think if he says that there's been another date and location set or at least considered for a follow-up meeting with Kim Jong-un, it's a very good sign that things are heading in the direction the administration would like to see. Remember, he even speculated recently that he could invite Kim Jong-un to the White House.
Mm.
Wow.
Or Mar-a-Lago was also floated, too. So what point will we hear something to know how this sort of went? Those questions from reporters would be what time for us? Do you know?
About 3 a.m. Your time, overnight.
So our time.
I'll be up for it.
Set the alarm.
I'm going to be popcorn.
Something to set the alarm for, I think, actually.
Although popcorn's a choking hazard, so I might avoid it. I suppose the...
that early hour.
Yeah, right. I suppose this is... I don't. Is this good news? I'm not sure what to make of that. I mean, so far everything is going off right, without a hitch at this moment. The president hasn't tweeted about this in advance. other than his excitement. And I think earlier today or tomorrow, in your case, that he had said, you know, there's, you know, there was, he felt as though there was success in the air here. There's something good that's going to come of this. So mm-hmm. everybody's got kind of a positive attitude. Mm-hmm. How is the city state of Singapore handling this? You get a sense of what their reaction to this has been?
That's a really tightly controlled situation right now. There's heavy security at the hotels where both leaders are staying. Kim Jong-un actually was out and about last night here in Singapore. There were photos of him heading into a casino, and we saw his motorcade drive by our hotel pretty late last night. So, you know, he's taking advantage of the fact that it's only, I believe, the third time since he took power that he's left his country. The president had a much more quiet day yesterday, meeting with the prime minister of Singapore, thanking him for hosting this summit, thanking him for the hospitality and friendship. There was a reason Singapore was selected as the host, a neutral third-party site. Kim Jong-un could travel here. There were certainly concerns about whether or not he could even get to some of the European locations under consideration.
Right.
He had some help from the Chinese to get here. And Singapore's putting the cost for what is a pretty intense security situation across the city.
Singapore's a really... I don't think a lot of Americans know a whole lot about Singapore other than the sling. But there is, but Singapore really is a fascinating place. It is usurped Hong Kong essentially as the mm-hmm. as the trade capital of Asia, and it's a city state. It's got a gigantic GPA. It has some light. It has some manufacturing to it, but really it's a financial services hub. And it's
banking here. You come in and see the skyscrapers with every bank's logo on the top of the buildings. Our cab driver told us, you know, everybody works here. Every bank is here, has a presence, and the hotels are always packed because it's just so frequently traveled right. by foreign workers coming into Singapore.
Did anyone else think it was sort of odd, though, to see the celebrity status given to Kim Jong-un, you know, a dictator with a selfie scene mm-hmm. and the foreign minister posing with selfies with him, when you just think not that far away in Malaysia, he's potentially murdered his half-brother with a deadly nerve agent. Yeah. And USA Today's got a great article today about the 340 people he's connected to having ordered their executions, just to remind everyone of who this is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even there was certainly a lot of talk on social media after some of those photos and videos of him out and about in town were posted last night. And, you know, that's also an element to the fact that the president is saying this is something that no other American president has done before. And he's framing that as I can do this. You know, I'm a master negotiator. Mm-hmm. But critics will say there's a reason why other U.S. presidents have not given the North Koreans this meeting, because it could be used for propaganda and a photo op.
Right.
And that, you know, you're rewarding somebody who is accused of all of these atrocities, starving his own people, those extrajudicial killings, including his own family members. And he hasn't given anything up to get to this point. He asked the president for a meeting. Within an hour or so, President Trump accepted. But the White House insists, you know, those past approaches didn't work. So why not try something mm-hmm. else? President Trump likes to go with his gut. He said he'll know very quickly if Kim Jong-un is serious about giving up his weapons.
Mm-hmm. Results could be worth it, I suppose.
As you recall, Dennis Rodman tried to make the entreaty between Barack Obama and Kim Jong-un, right? Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, just meet with a man. That's all he wants. And otherwise he's going to build a bomb. And they're like, no, we're not meeting with him. The guy is a mess. And now he has the bomb. So you sort of see there is a logic to how this all happened. Obviously the president is rhetorically turning it exactly as Karen just described, that this is a win and this is a unique moment. But, you know, there is danger still high. Speaking of Dennis Rodman, he is in Singapore. Has anybody seen him?
No, haven't seen any photos or any video of him.
All right.
Well, you'll know good. When you see him. And, but he does stand out a little bit.
But you have seen the running security detail of Kim Jong-un. That is my favorite bit that he's got. He has people running beside his motorcade.
Really?
I have
not seen that yet.
Oh, my.
That first video we saw wasn't exactly a slow roll by the motorcade.
No!
They were moving along at a pretty decent clip. Sometimes you see it and they're sauntering, slightly jogging on the side of the vehicle, but
yeah.
Those guys were moving last night.
Right, like Secret Service does that, you know, as they're moving, as a car is like in a slow roll, they'll be there and they'll be walking briskly or maybe jogging lightly.
You see that?
These guys were in a full-out sprint for like three blocks with the car. And then they all stopped. They all paired off like airplanes in an air show. It was it's pretty impressive.
Imagine if you didn't keep up.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Karen, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a great
Thanks,
day.
Karen.
Karen Travers in Singapore. All right. Yeah, they say that they've chosen those guys based on their party loyalty, their height. They're all like super tall. How good looking they are. And their ability to sprint along with the car. Oh, they also have to be sharpshooters and jiu-jitsu experts and all that, you know.
I've seen many videos on Twitter of people having their groomsmen do that, sort of mocking it before a wedding. As they're driving up to the church or leaving.
Love that.
I feel those guys are sprinting for a long stretch. It's not just around a corner or anything.
I know. It's like crazy. And they're, you know, they're all wearing black suits
right,
and they have
sunglasses.
Sunglasses and this blue and white tie. And they've got, and they're all in unison and they all look, you know, very similar. When he walked into last week, they showed him somewhere and he was walking and he's got these people behind him. It's, oh no, you know what? It was the foreign minister who was here. The guy was delivering the oversized, like that card you get at Walgreens that's oversized. Yes. That, you know, for like a 3-year-old here, you open it up.
Abnormally oversized card. Yeah. Like one you might give to a 4-year-old for a birthday that's really big because it turns into a poster or a coloring book or something. It was huge.
We have Dennis Rodman audio just coming in to the Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis control room. We'll check with the control room. We'll play that back for you. It's about a minute and 18 seconds long of Dennis Rodman's first statement from Singapore. We'll play that after Judy gives us the news update here. What's coming up at the top of the hour? All right. Dennis Rodman has arrived in Singapore. And as I said, and I remember we were talking about this last week, that he's undoubtedly going to be sponsored. He's going to have something tattooed on his forehead or whatever.
And he does.
He does. He's got Potcoin.
Ultra secure digital cryptocurrency that helps with the global legal marijuana industry.
Yeah, legal, right.
That's important, man.
Okay.
Helps facilitate transactions within the legalized cannabis.
We're facilitating transactionally status.
Might relax everyone before this meeting.
Could help. It really couldn't hurt.
Oh, I don't want to see Trump stoned. Imagine. Imagine. You know how people get all like come up with all these crazy ideas?
Tweaky.
Yeah.
Your hair just somehow gets all messed up. His hair is like sticking straight out.
No, maybe it'll have the opposite effect.
That's what I wonder.
Maybe.
No, I don't think so.
He'll like, well, never mind.
You know what we should do? We should blow up the whole freaking thing.
I want to see the nukes.
Wouldn't it be cool if I was like steaming? See, that would be bad. All right, well, anyway, here's the point. Is Dennis Rodman has arrived in Singapore, and he was just greeted by the press, got off the airplane, and here's what he said.
So this meeting would have happened without you. Were you part of it?
I just happen to be a part of it because I think that is driven. I think that I brought awareness to a lot of things around the world, and I think North Korea has gave a lot of people opportunity to do this conference.
How much of the reason that Trump and the government
meeting was it could have been a disaster, you know, it could have been a disaster. Trump could have said something different, Kim Jong-un could have said something different, but I think that it's fair to say that both of them were just see what this meeting is going to go. So it should go fairly well, but people should not expect so much for the first time. So I'm hoping, like I said, the door's opening. Okay.
Well, this is exciting for you, Mr. Rodman, to be here.
Well, it's exciting to be a part of it. That's the main thing. It's exciting to be a part of it.
Is he playing basketball while he's doing this?
I think there's something strange going on in the background.
You know, like I say, you know, this is up in the air right now, so I think he has bigger things to worry about than, seeing me right now. I think he's going to try to make this conference something for a good gateway for everyone to come see what's going on in the world.
So there's no plan for
him. Like I say, every time I see him, it's always a surprise. So maybe tomorrow is the same thing. Maybe surprise I see him tomorrow before he is.
Maybe you'll see him tomorrow before he leaves. Is he talking about Kim or is he talking about Trump? Kim, okay.
Well, the White House has said he's not supposed to be around for the summit. He's not invited and that he's not supposed to be anywhere near them.
Oh, I see Kim Jong-un going, hey, Donald, listen, I have an idea. First of all, I had good night last night at Concrete Cowboy Singapore with Boris.
Actually, he went to Sky Bar, is what they're officially saying.
He went to Sky Bar? Really?
He went to Sky Bar.
No, the Sky Bar's not cool anymore in Chicago.
Well, this one has an infinity pool atop a landmark waterfront hotel, and he's a big tropical garden up there, and all the guests were like, wait a minute, isn't that...
he's got bottle service.
He just shows up.
Hey, Boris, we need more vodka,
Boris, take care
Boris
of you.
Boris is working the whole thing. Boris, even though it's 90 degrees at the Sky Bar in Singapore, he's still wearing a thin leather jacket, car coat, white T-shirt, chains.
His haircut's probably not all that different from Kim Jong-un. It might be tied back a little bit more, like a man bun.
Well, he's totally shaved on the side and a man bun on
100%.
The top.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's dressing for the occasion.
High and tight.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Boris and Kim Jong-un.
We're in good hands.
What could go wrong?
Hey, Boris, where are the girls at? Hey! Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe Boris and maybe they can join the meeting.
But you know that he's bringing Boris and Dennis Rodman.
Boris is hungover.
Hey, don't worry. They can't understand anything because they're totally hungover. It's like Kim Jong-un's going to show up. It's going to be like the Hangover, except he's got a meeting with Donald Trump.
He's like, what did I have on my schedule again today?
Boris found a baby.
Right. Dennis Rodman's got a tiger. The whole thing's good. It's all good.
Everything's cool. We're fine. Let's get this thing going. I got sunglasses on.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Now, wait. Now, Dennis Rodman, really, is it below the White House to invite Dennis Rodman? I'm surprised Dennis Rodman's not the Secretary of the Interior by now.
They don't want him to be part of it. He's not. And the president was even asked about it, and he said, no. You know, great guy, like him, but no, he's not part of it.
I think they're just avoiding giving him credit. They don't want to give him credit for anything that might happen.
Wow.
Unless it's bad. It was all Dennis's idea.
I don't want to give him credit for anything that happens. Well, nobody does.
No, I think, you know what? I think that our blind chicken just got a nut, or what did they say?
Squirrel.
Squirrel. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
It's a Serbian chicken. Yes,
right. She just got it right. If it goes wrong, we're blaming Dennis Rodman. Dennis told me to do it.
Bring an emergency scapegoat with us.
He brought a tiger. There was some guy named Boris in the room.
I wonder if Boris knows any Slovenian women for me.
I did meet Boris once in Moscow when I wasn't there. What? All right. You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Judy Pylock has the news. Skelling is joining us. He's got trouble.
Do I?
Yep. Yes, Tom.
Am I about to get it? Is that the
you're about to get it?
Get a piece
you're
of somebody's
about
mind
to get it.
But you know, we came through for folks down south who needed some rain. So we did get some pretty healthy rains. As a matter of fact, down south. It's very crummy weather today. I can understand your frustration.
Well, this week, first of all, we're getting new details about Kim Jong-un's night out at the nightclub. Oh. Real details. We're going to share those with you in just a minute.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But before we get to that, we do need to let some people understand what happened here. Because on Saturday afternoon, I'm watching downtown. I'm watching the Belmont, and then I'm running up to the north suburbs.
Yes.
And it was like I had moved from North America to South America in the winter.
It's
it was
true.
Like it was crazy.
I was out, I did a climate talk with Congressman Bill Foster and some colleagues out in Aurora.
You made a little news in that.
And it was, what's that?
You made a little news on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Does anybody read the newspaper around here?
Well, I usually follow all things Tom Skilling, but how did I miss that?
It was in the Tribune. You can read it.
Yeah. We talked about it. It was an interesting session. A lot of great folks out there, but it was warm. As I was driving home, I found the same thing you just mentioned, Ro. The car thermometer went up to 82. And yet got down on Lakeshore Drive, and it was like descending into the throes of a late March day.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Here.
All right. So is this, again, just a week ago, I said, well, it looks like summer's here to stay. And then all of a sudden winter pulled in.
Did not feel like it.
Is it turning around?
Yes, it is. It's going to warm up this week. And you know what's interesting? This lake breeze has masked the fact that the month is really off to a very warm start nationally. The country as a whole is running about 3.8 degrees above normal.
And it's the lake that's causing all the trouble.
It is. And then we had this ring of fire pattern. There were 90s and 100s out in Kansas, into Missouri, downstate Illinois, hit in the 90s yesterday. And so these storms tend to form on the northern cusp of that warm air and rotate around it. We call it our ring of fire pattern. And boy, you can get some awfully good rain and some dramatic lightning displays. And we had both at one time or another over the weekend.
The thunder was, wow.
Yeah, it was something.
Wake you up, rattle you out of bed kind of thunder.
Oh,
yeah.
And Anna, some folks sent me some spectacular shots of the Hancock Building getting hit at one point. It was really quite interesting. Mm. But what's going to happen is this dome of hot air out west is going to start expanding. It'll be a slow thing. The next couple of days will be warmer than what we've seen. But by this weekend, that hot dome will develop in all of its splendor across the central United States, and we'll sit right in the midst of it. So it looks like we have a 90-degree weekend coming this weekend. So some real summer-like weather.
Yeah.
We'll keep building
All right, whatever. I lost a weekend. You know, I got 13 of them to enjoy the summer.
And then one's gone. One pretty much was gone. Just like that.
Two. We actually kind of lost two. Two and a half at this point.
See, Ro, what we got to do is we got to move, 30 miles or 40 miles to the west. Of course, there it rained.
And then you get more summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do, actually. Certainly than the lakefront. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lakefront the last number of years.
We'll come to appreciate the lake cooling, though, as we always do. Those folks will be
baking but the sun
there.
Will be going down at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when we're doing it. I like the idea of these long, late days, and then it's nice out.
If it proves to be a warmer than usual summer, then we will appreciate it.
Yeah.
So we just have to see how things turn out.
And so far, we have a 4/10 of a degree surplus going in the month of June. So, we're off to a great start.
Hey, let me tell you something. Here's what we need. We need my plan of heating the lake is coming to fruition. I got a whole plan.
It's some fundraising.
Kim Jong-un and I are going to sit down when he's done with Trump, and I'm going to talk to him about using some of that nuclear stuff he's going to give up. We're going to put it in the lake. We're going to make the lake real nice and warm.
That would be an environmental catastrophe, though. You'd kill fish and everything else. I still say the tarp over it for a couple of months.
Much more eco-friendly.
It's the way to go. And
I like
you're so green,
and
Tom.
That removable, what do they call it? That convertible top,
retractable
football stadium. Retractable roof. Mm-hmm. That's what I was looking for.
Maybe you could get Dennis Rodman on board, and he could get Potcoin to sponsor it, and it could have a big Potcoin.
Well, we've got to get him back from seeing his friend,
What? I'm in Singapore. Guess what? We just played the audio of him. He just landed in Singapore. We got the audio of him getting off the plane, saying he's going to meet, he's trying to meet with Kim after the thing is over. The U.S. doesn't want him around. But Kim last night went to Skybar. It's a little different than the Sky Bar in Chicago. I hate to tell Violetta this, but it is a little different.
It's got an infinity pool. It's at the top of tall Marina Bay Sands Hotel. Very she-she, swanky place.
He's staying at the Marina Bay Sands, Kim is. And he's got that's where his security. Did you see this video of the security running next to his car?
I did see that. I heard you guys talking about it.
The guys run 60 miles an hour next to the car. It's like the damnedest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they've got this is taking place on an island over there, right? So it's kind of easy
like
to defend.
It's a bridge that takes you in, and it's the only way into this particular swanky area.
And you got to hand it. Are they in the hotel which has that bridge across the top of it? With three towers that we see pictures of?
We keep seeing that. I don't know if that's their hotel or not, but wow, the skyline of Singapore is
cool?
Among the wildest you're ever going to see. Anybody I've known who's gone to Singapore raves about it.
I know. I've heard the same thing. Yeah.
You know, it's just hard to believe.
Very progressive. Yeah, they're very wild.
Well, they're progressive unless you spit on the street, then they cane you.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Remember, we had that
graffiti
from.
Also frowned upon, just for
reference. Yeah, don't mess with the place.
I still keep thinking about all these people in gulags over there, and I, you know,
and North Korea,
it's hard to look at him and realize that his people are starving and that they've got people in gulags. You know,
yeah,
I just
And USA Today has a great article today about the 340 people who he's ordered the execution of, including people who did very little other than disagree with him.
Well, you know what he's done? He's
that's lined, a good idea.
He's lined people up on an airfield and fired missiles at them, and then invited the family to watch their demise.
Yeah.
This has been confirmed, I guess, with satellite imagery too. Mm-hmm. So this fella is not exactly, you know, your next door neighbor.
No.
Cute
little cuddly bear. Although he was up.
Cuddly dictator.
He is kind of cuddly because he looks like a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
But he does have, he had this big party last night at Sky Bar.
Yep.
And there were naked women there.
It was a topless infinity
kidding.
Pool setting. Where
no wonder the two of them are getting along so well, huh? Jeez. Hey, I wonder if the Donald was there.
No,
he laid low. He was not in the spotlight.
Oh, you know that this is driving him nuts. He hates traveling.
Sure.
He hates sleeping in other places.
Yeah.
He's leaving. By the way, we're now being told he's going to leave immediately after this.
Yeah.
He's leaving 12 hours sooner than he was scheduled to leave.
I don't blame him in that. I like sleeping in my own bed, you know?
Okay.
But it's a little hard to do when you're halfway around the world.
Yeah, right. I think so.
14 hours time difference.
So they're going to the Sentosa Island, which is Singapore. Singapore itself is an island at the end of the Malay Peninsula.
Yes.
And it is it's its own nation, it's its own city, and it's an island. But it's an island across a bridge like you'd be across a bridge from Manhattan.
Yes.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the distance across between New Jersey and Manhattan.
Sure.
The difference between Malaysia and Singapore. And then on the other side, like a little tinier bridge takes you over to this island of Sentosa where they're having this meeting tomorrow or, you know, in a couple of hours.
Yes.
And so this is going to be that's one of the reasons that they've done this at Singapore is it is one of the most secured.
Right.
Singapore has demanded to be conscripted into the Singaporean military. Every male between 18 and 20 in Singapore has to join the army.
Very interesting.
And so that's physically capable to do it. And it's not a gigantic population, and it is incredibly wealthy. It's incredibly secured. It's got a gigantically reinforced by the United States and Western allies Air Force and naval operations there. It's a spectacular place. So if you're going to do something safe, this on paper is the right place to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what they're doing. But in the meantime, they also have this crazy-ass nightclub. It's sort of like, you know, as beautiful as Dubai is and Doha Qatar and all that, it's hard to get a drink because they're Arab countries, you know, and it's because of Islam and Islam's prohibition against alcohol. It's not a party capital. This, unless you know the right people, and then you're still you know,
one extreme to another.
You still could get in some trouble over there if you do the wrong thing. In Singapore, the drinking is fine. Don't mess up the place. They're like my mother. You take your shoes off when you get there. Don't make it dirty. Don't spit on
I'm
the
sure
floor.
Your mother loves
don't
these.
Scratch anything and have
the
a good
comparison.
Time.
Did your mom?
My mom's exactly like.
Did she cane you if you broke any of those rules?
Pretty close. Mm-hmm. Pretty close. But that is what it is. So now here we go. This is so he's out there last night with the Kim Jong Un.
Wow.
At the nightclubs with the naked ladies.
Wow, I I don't know about you. If I were here with all the world watching this whole thing, I think I'd be kind of down to business the first night before.
He doesn't get out here very often.
I mean,
he does. It's the third time he's left his country since he took power.
That's true.
You think about that.
But, you know, he went to school in the West, didn't he?
In Lausanne, Switzerland or something, right?
Yeah. And so he was educated outside of North
I believe
Korea.
He spent some time in the United States, too, because he's a huge New York Knicks fan or something, right? Then Bowles, of course, which is why I love Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
And he likes the ladies. And you know what? Boris, you know, our friend Boris, which is actually Violetta's
friend of the
show. Hangs out in the nightclub with Violetta.
Uh-huh.
That's him.
That guy?
Out of my voice now. That would have been his scene, I would think. Boris would have fit in well.
Boris is hanging out, we were told, with Kim Jong-un this weekend. He was up at the Sky Bar party last night. And he did assure him that he can get him very good seats, maybe even floor seats for the Bulls this year.
Wow.
Boris will say anything.
Yeah. But Boris probably could get that, because I think anybody could get floor seats for the Bulls this
year.
There
are very few pictures of it, too, because his bodyguards were going around if anyone snapped a photo and deleting it from
the
your
The same
phone.
Guys that run around his car or different guys?
I don't know if they're the same, but these were, enough. They meant enough business that they were able to take people's phones and they let them and deleted those pics. So.
Those were Singaporean security people.
No, that's
they?
All North Korean.
Oh, they were his. Oh, wow! And they had full suits on. All I could think is, wow.
They were keeping up too.
That's not exactly a cool climate.
Can you imagine the one guy that doesn't keep up?
Right.
That's what they're thinking about.
Yeah.
You better keep up.
Yeah.
Car behind him runs him over.
Right. Doesn't even make it to dinner that night.
Yeah.
Sorry. What happened to Chang? He's gone.
A little too slow for the
it is,
car.
Yeah, he had to go.
He's executed people for less. Let's just say that.
Yeah, exactly. Tom Skilling brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Thank you, Tom.
Gaius, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Great
we'll
way
to
start the week. Talk to you tomorrow.
I hope you make it better tomorrow.
I am going to try. I feel a little pressure here.
You do.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah. All
you
should. Right.
Your name at dinner.
Running.
You don't want to end up being the last guy in the security detail. You don't want that.
Keep up. That made me a little nervous hearing that.
Yeah.
You know, the silencer and all.
Yeah, it's a bad it's a bad thing. You know, your name was taken in vain on Saturday night at dinner.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
I'm sure it probably was.
All the people at the table.
You can't blame Tom.
Ro, you know what I always say? You know, what's this look like? Weather by request? You know? Oh, gee. Maybe it ought to be.
Oh, you know what? Tell that to Kim Jong-un when you screw up his golf game and tell him that. See what happens. All right, we got to go. Thank you, sir.
See you, guys.
All right, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A big settlement for a Chicago woman accidentally killed in police gunfire.
Here is Violetta Pademedic.
Traffic is sponsored by Gerber Collision and Glass. Outbound Stevenson just keeps building. It's an hour, 10 minutes now. Lakeshore Drive to 355, about 42 minutes inbound. When do you get it to Gerber? When you were pretty sure it was a four-way stop. That's when you get it to Gerber. Gerber Collision and Glass, call 877-7-GERBER and get it to Gerber. For a personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Pai. Dramatic in WGN Traffic Central.
Do you want your basement to be dry most of the time? If so, PermaSeal is not the company for you. At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time, no matter how hard it rains. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer, president of PermaSeal. I hear story after story of homeowners who say their basement only leaks when it rains. Well, you don't worry about your living room or bedroom getting wet when it rains. You should feel the same way about your basement. Just call 800-421-SEAL. We offer a free estimate, no-haggle pricing, and a price assurance guarantee so you can rest assured that you're getting the best value. Your basement is already dry most of the time, but if you want your basement dry all the time, you know who to call. 800-421-SEAL. PermaSeal has earned an A-plus rating from the BBB and has received their 2016 Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics. That's 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Your best for being better, PermaSeal.
I'm Brian from 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
We make junk disappear.
Anytime, anywhere. We show up wearing snappy, happy uniforms.
In clean, shiny trucks.
You're going to feel like you have a brand new house.
Big and clean.
Spacious and open.
Happy and cheerful.
Full of light. We're happy to crawl through your attic and dig through your basement. We're the world's largest full-service junk removal company. We make junk disappear. All you have to do is point. Point at a sleeper sofa. Gone. Point at a beat-up old garden shed. Gone. Point at a big old freezer. Gone. Point at the neighbor's dog that won't quit barking. And we'll politely ask him to improve his attitude. We work until midnight, 7 days a week. Just call us 90 minutes before you need us to be there. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Do you have sleep apnea? Are you tired of dragging your big, bulky CPAP device with you whenever you leave home? Yeah, well, I was too. That's why I'm so glad I called to try the Transcend Mini CPAP for 10 nights. I can't imagine living without it now. My Transcend is about as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. That's less hassle to carry than my shaving kit. Plus, I was able to add a battery pack that's as tiny as a deck of cards. But hey, that's not all. Transcend is FAA compliant too, which means I can finally sleep comfortably while flying. Heck, I can sleep comfortably anywhere now. So if that all sounds good to you, call now to give Transcend a try. You'll be glad you did.
Now you can try Transcend and sleep comfortably for 10 restful nights with a money-back guarantee. So call minicpap.com now, 1-800-331-4989. Again, that's 1-800-331-4989. 1-800-331-4989.
100 events, 19 days, one epic food festival. Visit ctfoodbowl.com. It's the ultimate Chicago food experience coming this August. CT Food Bowl. Check it out. Still can't get over Dennis Rodman showing up with a promotional t-shirt for the World Peace Summit. Why let this get in the way of a good promotional opportunity? For Potcoin. Potcoin.com.
Okay, so Hannity is going to get the post-Trump interview.
Oh, immediately after?
Immediately after or tomorrow night? We don't really know yet. Well, that's
the way they tell us it was the greatest summit, greatest meeting of all time.
Well, Sean Hannity says he's live in Singapore all week, so he is there and obviously has a strong relationship with the president. So I imagine he'll get a quick sit down.
Is he doing that instead of a press conference? He's going to sit down with...
Well, we heard from our reporter earlier, ABC News, that he is going to talk with the...
Well, that's it. We're being told now he's not going to do press and he's going to do Hannity instead. Is Hannity going to talk about what a great guy Kim Jong-un is?
I don't think so.
Because I think we can pull some tape from when Obama was president about his thoughts on Kim Jong-un. Yeah. And I think that will be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you notice the flexibility of opinion that many people have had since Donald Trump became president?
It's true. But hey, he gets something done here. It's meaningful for all of us.
But what does he get done that... Here, the big question is this. Does he get something done that is irreversible? Does he get something done that ensures that Kim Jong-un or none of the Kim family, who are, you know, clearly acting just, it's a gigantic klepto tyranny in North Korea? It's a very small group of family and other friends of the Kim family who are rich and are taken care of. And it's a very large population of people who work for them. And some of that population, if they are politically opposed to the Kim family, work in labor camps.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's over 1,000 extrajudicial assassinations in North Korea that we know of during the Kim reign. There have been 340 during the thousands during the Kim reign during these last 70 years, but during the or 60 years during the oh it is 70 years now isn't it the I'm just going to talk to myself and then during Kim Jong Un you've over 300 of these you've got him killing members of his own family, obviously kidnapping people from other countries, bringing them to him. He's got the Otto Warmbier situation, his blood on his hands. You know, I mean, these are all, this is a bad guy. He's a tyrant.
Yeah.
So if you don't, the only win here for the United States that in a it based on Trump's own characterization of the situation is complete disarmament of the nuclear capability, and it's got to be verified
and irreversible.
And irreversible.
And there's a lot of interpretation you could place upon denuclearization. Japan is concerned that would the shorter range missiles be able to still be in place, and then certainly that would impact their sovereignty. Where do you go with this? But it's a door opening, and
I mean, listen,
to be hopeful about
this. We're in some ways in better shape today, right now, hours to go before the summit, than we have been since the end of the Korean War with North Korea. That in some ways the world is a safer place because of this, because someone's sitting down with him. But we'll have to find out what he wants.
And somehow Dennis Rodman has a piece in all of this, which still sort of is troubling to me. But he does have this relationship. And he is in Singapore.
Yeah, he's in Singapore.
Only time will tell.
Mm-hmm. Honest to God, do we know if Boris is in Singapore?
Only time will tell.
Hey!
Judy, gonna have the news coming your way in 2. Show with Anna DeBlantis right here.
Yes.
It's time to check in with Steve Stone, Chicago White Sox broadcaster. Steve Stone on Baseball, brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Steve.
Try Wildfire, by the way, because it's halibut season, my favorite fish, so go and have it. It's delightful.
They have a good prime rib, too.
I like the best soup. I actually had that last night.
Super great ribs, actually. Really? I think the ribs are the best thing at Wildfire.
They even have those three little medallions.
Yeah. Have you ever, you know, every time we have you on, we just have to
start getting hungry
on your sponsorship because every restaurant you bring up is a good one.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I like that.
I haven't been there in a while. I got to get back there.
And we're a going out kind of show. So, you know,
they also have wine flights.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
Yeah. We're not a cooking at home kind of show as much as we should be. All right.
It shows, too.
Kind of fun times in Boston for the White Sox, right?
It was actually a very good road trip. And if you look at the last three series, it was 2 or 3 from Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a pretty good baseball team, as the Cubs are finding out. I mean, they lead the division by just a scant half game. But when we played them, they had the best record in the National League. Still do, as a matter of fact. And then it was a split in Minnesota and then on to Boston, where the Red Sox had the most wins in all of baseball and really dominated at home. They were 23-10 heading into yesterday. But the Sox taking 2 of 3. It was a well-played series. It was a well-pitched series. And when you look at the offensive numbers of the Red Sox, I know Mookie Betts was out of the lineup, but J.D. Martinez came back after the first game, and he was certainly a huge factor. He's leading the major leagues in home runs and runs batted in. And so taking 2 of 3 in their ballpark is quite an accomplishment. Most teams don't go in there and come away with a serious win, but our Sox did. And it was a good series. The bullpen was outstanding, and if that gets better, along with the starting rotation, getting Rodon back and starting to throw the ball well, I think there's some light at the end of the tunnel. The boys are starting to play pretty well.
It's kind of cool Friday, Steve, to see Yoan Moncada face Chris Sale. Those two were the centerpieces around that major trade that really kind of moved the White Sox along into a rebuild or whatever you want to call it. I guess just what's it like seeing Sale face the former team? And Dylan Covey practically outpitched him on Friday. Maybe he's a guy that could surprise and maybe wasn't on the radar for a lot of us, but he's been pitching very well this season so far.
Well, credit the Sox scouts in the front office with the original Dylan Covey move, which was as a Rule 5 player from Oakland. He was a guy who was a number one draft pick, a diabetic, and then they didn't sign him, and then he went to Oakland, and the Sox really liked his arm. But when he came over here in that 1 year that he was here, and you have to keep him or offer him back, and the Sox didn't want to offer him back, they felt that there was something there. And coming back from the minor leagues this year, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but he's throwing it harder. He's getting up to 95. He hit 96 in that start. But the most impressive thing about him is the movement, both the sink and the fact that it runs into right-handers. He got explosive movement on the ball, and he not kind of outpitched Sale. He actually did, because he got the W, Sale got the L, and he gave up no runs. Chris gave up one. But it was quite a performance, and I think he is making himself a factor in the starting rotation moving forward. Right now, I think everybody likes his stuff and likes what they see. It's radically different from when we saw him a couple of years ago. And that matchup of Sale against Moncada, look, Sale is one of baseball's best. Moncada is just starting out. He just turned 23. And Sale really dominated him. He had a good night. But Moncada in that game, although he didn't get a hit, he did really have one of the key at-bats of the game, hitting the ball inside out to the right side to move along Tim Anderson, who later scored the only run of the ball game. So that particular at-bat was a good one, and it helped the team win. It was one of those things that you have to do if you're going to play winning baseball. Now, Moncada obviously was overmatched in that series. And I think with the article in the paper today, they were talking about Abreu telling him, get more aggressive early in the count. Don't take so many pitches, because then you're susceptible to the wipeout pitch. And so he was swinging early in the count in Boston, the final game, and hopefully that holds him in good stead. If he gets more aggressive, and I think you see it a lot from Jose Abreu, who ambushes a lot of pitchers on the first pitch.
Tim Anderson had a pretty good game yesterday, too, both in the field and at bat, right? Or on the base path, I should say.
It was
heads up thinking by him. And he's just fun. He's a great athlete, and you always, reminds me when I was a kid of watching Ivan de Jesus. You know, the guy who's just, or Manny Trio. These guys are just incredibly fast, incredibly athletic, and even though they're kind of outliers a little bit on the team, you know, you still had Larry Bittner on that team, and I wasn't quite sure what Larry Bittner was doing. Dave Kingman wasn't actually fleet of foot, but you'd see those guys, you know, young athletes on, you know, in the infield are just so much fun to watch, and so it's going to be I got a very good feeling watching, you know, the White Sox over this last, as you said, this whole trip, really, you know, I think they're having some fun, and that's an important thing. If they're having fun, then the fans are going to have fun.
Yeah, and look, the Sox are not a team that's going to hit a lot of balls out of the ballpark. Davidson is just coming back. He's got 11 home runs tied for the team lead with, of all people, Tim Anderson. But Anderson has stolen 13 of 14 bases this year. So you're talking about a team that's been aggressive under Ricky Renteria. He's got everybody running. Sox has stolen 53 bases, only been caught 11 times. So not only do they lead the American League, and I think they lead all of baseball in stolen bases, but they get thrown out very infrequently. So they're running, and they're running well. And an aggressive team is an exciting team. And I'm not going to tell you that this is baseball's most exciting team, because that's reserved for teams that pound the ball out of the ballpark. But the Sox are trying to do it the only way that they can, and that is trying to manufacture some runs with their speed. Right now, until they get some bangers, and I think we haven't seen this team hitting a lot of home runs recently. I think that they probably will as they get a bit older and a bit more experience and some of the younger guys come up. But right now, this is a team trying to take advantage of everything it has, and it has speed up and down the order. And when Adam Engel comes back, it gives us another speed guy, and hopefully he's going to play this evening. He's had a hamstring issue, but he's 8 of 10 in stolen bases. Leury Garcia's on the shelf, and Leury was 9 of 9 in stolen bases. So, again, the team is trying to use what they have, and right now their speed up and down the lineup, and that's what they're using. That's what I was trying to win some games. And,
yeah,
you know, look, nobody's happy with the way it's gone, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, well, let's say, as a sporting weekend in Chicago, you had the North Side 2 out of 3, the South Side 2 out of 3. You had a Triple Crown winner. Right, for people watching,
yeah.
That was an amazing performance by that horse, and I would just like to remind everybody that Ron Major said the horse wasn't going to win the race, and I did say the horse was going to win.
Yes,
the
race. That's true.
I would
true.
Like some credit for that at mm-hmm. this very moment, and a couple of Chicago kids sweep the Tonys. I mean, I know that's not sports, but my God, that's exciting anyway.
Yes, it certainly is.
Well, years ago, I got to meet Laurie Metcalf, and she's really a wonderful woman, and I congratulate her on her second Tony and the nomination for the Academy Award. She's really a nice person, and hopefully good things keep coming to her. And I know anytime anybody who has any connection to Chicago wins anything, it's a really glorious day here. And you're right about the Triple Crown, by the way, justified through the inside post. And when you have in that race the inside post, a lot of times you can get swamped early. He managed not to and ran a whale of a race and showed that he's a super horse. You know,
so there's
one
a,
of
There's a
line of super horses.
For sure. There's a picture that at the end of the race where every horse is just dirty as hell. It's a mile and a half, right? And the Belmont dirt is very sandy and very fine. And so it's a little more of a slog to run in, even when it's a fast track at Belmont. And so these horses are just filled with this fine dust. Every horse, you couldn't tell the color of the horse. They were all gray from the track, except for Justify, that beautiful chestnut colt with that big white blaze on his nose. And it totally clean, because no horse ever got in front of him.
It's strange. You showed me that picture, and it almost looked as if there was a filter put over the rest of the horses in the field, because it stood out that much in terms of how crisp and clean he was.
Yeah, what a great, and you got to give it, you got to give it to the jockey who's 52 years old.
Gee.
Right? I mean, that's, at the end of his career, finally being able to get a Triple Crown. And just, it's one of those stories in racing. And they're going to race him, it appears, at least one more time, probably two more times, before they put him out to stud. And if he goes in undefeated as a stud, next spring, he is going to make, those owners, China Horse Club and Windstar, are going to be very, very happy folks.
Well, they syndicated it for $75 million and got the $15 million bonus. It was 60 and 75. He won the Triple Crown, so he got the $15 million bonus. And you can understand where there would be a lot of people very interested in the breeding. But what we don't know is how good the breeding rights are going to be. For instance, Secretariat was not good, was not as good as Aladar. Aladar couldn't beat Affirmed, and yet Aladar as a stud was.
That's true.
In racing,
but for the first 3 years, they're doing it on reputation alone before the stock actually gets out on the track. And this, and right now American Pharoah is going for $100,000 a throw, and he's going to about 125, 150 mares per year. So you do the math there, and then you're going to probably have the same number of bookings, maybe 150 bookings for Justify. And if Justify goes in undefeated, we'll probably go for $150,000.
So how much would that horse make as a stud post racing?
So it would be, let's do the math here. Mm-hmm. Let's do 150 times 150.
Gee.
And then it's a big number.
It's a lot of cheddar.
Yeah, it's a lot of cheddar. So you're talking about $17 million a year.
$22,500.
So $22 million in the first year. For the first three years, it'd be $66 million essentially.
You go eat at Wildfire every day if you're making that much dough.
Yeah, think about that at Wildfire. Next, Wildfire.
Order whatever you want.
Get the steak. You can afford it. It's good. All right, Steve. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It takes 3 years to wipe a smile off the horse's face. So, it's pretty nice.
Oh, don't worry. The smile never wipes off their face.
He's got a happy life ahead of him.
Oh,
he does.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Oh, it's sickening.
Life is good.
I know. That's. I would just want to come back as that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something.
It's a dream.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate
it. Have a good show.
All right, Steve Stone.
Bye.
That's going to be the deal.
What's the jockey now? Does the jockey retire at
Mike
some point?
Smith. He will soon. Mike Smith. He will probably. He may run. He'll run the next two races if there are two.
Well, that doesn't seem fair. After riding a horse, now he has to run.
The.
It's like Kim Jong Un's bodyguards.
Yeah, Boris. No matter how bad her joke is, Boris always has to punch it
up.
He doesn't even know it's a joke. Right. Apparently, just like you guys.
Yeah. Anyway, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour? Keep listening. Next hour, your chance to win. Family four-pack of passes to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Chicago Hilton, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com.
Always a fun time.
Oh, my God.
Love it.
Yes.
So much to do.
I know.
Stay off the Zamboni, though.
Yes.
It's there for show.
Violetta learned that the hard way last time we were out there.
Mm-hmm. I was able to talk the security
guards. And you had a showdown with the Ice Girls. I remember that.
Uh-huh, we do. That was well documented.
Evil.
They're starting to like me now, guys, so stop.
That's big. It's big for your future.
I think...
Making moves!
I think tomorrow, speaking of making moves, I think tomorrow you're going to start to see some action in the NHL in terms of who's going to be doing what.
Ooh, very mysterious.
Because the Capitals, that's their parade tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the official end of the season is upon us. And they often don't like to make... Although it always turns out in Chicago, you find out during the parade that your favorite guy up on the double-decker bus is no longer with
us. It's like a farewell parade.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, wait a second.
We liked him.
I just bought his jersey.
It's huge.
Right. So, hey, Washington Capitals, congratulations. You're going to learn what that's all about coming up. Because they make you give away your guys.
Are you happy they won rather than Vegas?
No.
You want Las Vegas to win?
As they like to say, it's a really good year in Washington for Russians. And so with Ovechkin winning, that's a big deal.
It's perfectly fitting.
It does.
Perfectly
sums
fitting.
Sums up the year.
Yeah. And
the one sports team that will visit will be a Russian-led team.
Yes, exactly. Putin will show up right at the thing. So it's going to be, I mean, I'm happy for Ovechkin because he really is. He's supposed to be one of the nicest guys in the NHL, a gigantic star. He, Sidney Crosby, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, and Ovechkin are probably the four greatest of their generation, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily in that order.
No question.
But that is where that is. So that is, it's good to see them all get a Stanley Cup. Get a ring. And
it's
the Vegas,
better to see the Hawks get the Stanley Cup.
It is, that was not going to happen when they didn't make the playoffs.
It's hard for me to even care when they're not in it. I didn't even know it was over.
Okay.
Well, that's why we listen to the show. You get to figure out things like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
We don't really focus on it when the Hawks aren't.
Yeah, you don't really focus on anything when nothing is happening. So what are we supposed to do about that?
Let's do the top five at five.
All right, then.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, here we go. Checking in at
number five.
I don't care how much groveling Jeff Sessions does, Donald Trump is never going to like him. It's just over. It's just never going to happen. Today, the Attorney General spoke to Department of Justice employees in Virginia and said that people who are seeking asylum in the United States to escape gang violence in their home countries are no longer welcome.
Saying a few simple words, claiming a fear of return, is now transforming a straightforward arrest for illegal entry and immediate return into a prolonged legal process where an alien may be released from custody into the United States and possibly never show up for an immigration hearing. Let's be clear. We have a goal. And that goal is to end the lawlessness that now exists in our immigration system.
Still doesn't like you. He still doesn't like you.
Not going to stay here.
Now, he's not 100% wrong about that. There is a lot of abuse. There's a phrase that some people will use when they get picked up by immigration authorities and say, listen, I have a reasonable fear of returning to my home country based on violence or retaliation or whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives them an automatic stay of deportation, and they go into a system where they show up and there's a hearing about that, and they have to prove it.
Sometimes it's a very lengthy process before the hearing, and the whole processing of their particular situation takes some time.
There's no question that people disappear in that. There's no question. But the other side of that is that there are some legitimate people who are here that will get murdered when they go back to their homes.
Right.
And the question is, and this is not just from Central America, not from the places that are scaring all of the Fox News viewers where they show people lawlessly wearing bandanas that say MS-13 on them, but from all over the world. Including, there's one very kind of rising in infamy case here in Chicago of a woman being deported to Lithuania who's fearing this, and the government's not listening to her. It's a former judge, from Lithuania, who's being sent back because they said she overstayed her visa here because she feared going back because of her opposition to the government. They were going to murder her there.
Yeah,
and so they're not listening to that at the time. So there are real, there are real people who get involved in the middle of all of this, and there are legitimate reasons. So maybe the system needs an update. We're making so much money in the United States of America. America's winning so much. Every day we're winning. We can't afford to make our immigration system better so that people who would be not just valuable to the United States are induced to stay here, but people who are coming to the United States because it is the last bastion of freedom and democracy in their world,
right,
can't become good citizens here? No?
They can. I think that they're trying to redefine the path. And they've also received criticism for people who come with children and then they're separated because the asylum system treats adults and children differently. And so you're separated.
Yeah, that's a separate situation, too. That's been going, you know, it was interesting, though, that activists got caught in the gears of that this week, though, because that weekend they put out that picture of the two kids sleeping in what looked like a big dog cage,
right?
You know, in custody.
Made the rounds,
right? But that picture was from 2014, during the Obama era, right? So I mean, this has been going on longer. I think it's time if we want to keep winning, we want to keep doing that. Then the way to do that is to maybe take some of this, all the money that we're making right now and how rich and we're spending all this money in the government, would spend some money and fix that system.
Yeah.
No?
I think it sounds right.
Nope. Nobody buying my, no one's buying it because it just doesn't agree with them.
Number four.
Secretary of State Pompeo held an extensive briefing today in Singapore hours before the big Kim Trump summit. He says the ultimate objective is the complete and verifiable, irreversible denuclearization of the peninsula.
Sanctions will remain until North Korea completely and verifiably eliminates its weapons of mass destruction programs. If diplomacy does not move in the right direction, and we are hopeful that it will continue to do so, those measures will increase.
The president tweeted 14 minutes ago, we should say, "The fact that I'm having a meeting is a major loss for the U.S., say the haters and losers. We have our hostages, testing, research, and all missile launches have stopped. But these pundits who have called me wrong from the beginning have nothing else they can say. We will be fine." We won't learn what is actually said during the summit or won't get even a feeling for it for many hours, like 3 o'clock in the morning our time.
Until he goes on with Sean Hannity, which we're told is going to be his the way he's going to speak to the world about this.
He also tweeted, I don't know what you make of this, Ro, but about 26 minutes ago, talked about the stock market being up almost 40% since the election, $7 trillion of value. It added black and Hispanic unemployment lowest in history, female unemployment lowest in 21 years. So
I hadn't heard that.
I just wonder the timing of trying to talk about some of your other wins in advance of this, maybe as measuring.
Well, this is a good opportunity. With all those wins, this is a good opportunity to fix that immigration system, isn't it? Yeah? No? No? Maybe? I don't know. All right, wait, here's more of Mike Pompeo.
The context for these discussions is radically different than ever before. The backdrop against which these negotiations are taking, President Trump has said in a way that is fundamentally different than before. President's made very clear, until such time as we get the outcome that we're demanding, economic relief is not going to be provided. That's different. There was always this hypothesis that somewhere along the way, the Americans would take their foot off and allow those economic opportunities for the North and thereby reduce the capacity to actually achieve the deal. We're not going to do that.
More on this coming up as the former ambassador to Canada, Bruce Hayman, is going to join us after 5:35 this afternoon. We'll discuss not only the president's declaration of war on Canada earlier over the weekend, but also his what's going to happen here, what can be expected from a diplomatic exchange like we're about to see in Singapore. And as the president likes to say, unlike has ever been seen in the history of humanity ever before.
That's right.
The likes of which has never been seen before. Doesn't matter what he's done. You just wonder if he's ever gone to the bathroom in the morning and goes, honey, I just did something likes of the world has never seen before in there. We have got Judy Pilak telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour right now in the WGN newsroom.
Then there's this. Watch Micah and Joe. Micah Mater, that is. Joe Donlin, weeknights WGN TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10.
No big deal. Played golf with Joe Donlin last week. Right, Kev? We're basically best friends now. Yeah, no big
guys,
deal.
BFFs, besties, you're all going to be golfing again, right? Really soon?
Yep.
Did he invite you back?
Yep, no big deal.
Yeah. think you're overstating things
a
little
team.
Bit.
Make a great team. Yeah, Team WGN.
Yeah. Checking in at
number three.
Students at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, the drama club at the at that high school, took to the stage last night during the Tony Awards. This is a very emotional moment.
It was.
They performed their rendition of Seasons of Love from Rent, including this solo by this young girl. I don't know, she's 16 years old, 15, 16, 17 years old. Listen to this.
Seizing the moment. I mean, she,
unbelievable.
Wow. She said it was her dream to be on Broadway and that she had no idea what happened this soon. I mean, like, she'd have this. Obviously, it's bittersweet because of what they're there for. And they also honored the teacher who helped close the door to the drama class and advise the students and try to pull as many kids to safety as possible.
Right.
65 students sheltered in place in her drama class.
In her very small classroom, they said, for 2 hours.
Unbelievable.
Until she was able to get them safely out of there. And, you know, that and it looked like a drama club, right? It's a bunch of kids, a bunch of high school kids. And then this girl steps up and shines during her solo there. And you have the best musical theater talent in the world, the greatest assembly of humans in the world,
absolutely
involved in this in front of her. Imagine how intimidating that is. And then she just takes off. Those kids from that horrifying experience of February 14th to this very moment, you know, for have just been such it's just such a pride-inducing moment to watch those kids step up and be as present and devoted and articulate and I just in the moment is the best way I can put it, as they have been, as they've told their story. It's just an amazing thing. A lot of credit has to go to the instructors and to that school district, because those are some great kids.
They are.
Amazing stuff. All right, checking in at
number two.
25th anniversary of the release of Jurassic Park is today. Of course, it was the Michael Crichton book. You all know what happened in it. Richard Attenborough gets eaten. Now, here's the thing. There's a sequel coming out.
Boy.
Next weekend, I think, right? Richard Roper will be here to discuss.
Ooh.
Here's a little of the original.
So you two dig up dinosaurs?
Well,
try it.
You'll have to get used to Dr. Malcolm.
Great movie. I think that one stands up.
Oh, totally.
In time, doesn't it? Because I just saw it with my daughter not too long ago. I thought, wow, that was a good movie.
The dinosaurs seem so real.
You do.
I will. You know what?
So.
You know how many? But you know the problem was, you know, so many people went out and got velociraptors as pets, and then you found out that you couldn't have them.
The cutest babies,
right? And
cutest
just
babies.
And the cutest babies, and then they grow up, and then they
trouble.
Yes, the shelters were filled with velociraptors after that. All
bad
right,
idea.
And finally,
number one.
Okay. Don't tick off Lisa Lampanelli, the comedian.
No.
If you're at her show, don't heckle her.
Ooh.
Don't tell her you want your money back.
I said it and I f***ing mean it, you f***ing moron! Anyone who thinks I need any f***ing help needs to shut the f*** up. Every one of you, I am talking to this guy. I didn't need your help with any of my life. I don't need it now. So shut the f*** up. And let me have a conversation.
Ouch. Wow. Did she react strongly?
I think she might need help.
The guy tried to give her a $100 bill to shut up.
I don't know. That's
why are you at the show then? What are you doing? See, just going to cause trouble. That's all you're doing right there.
She says it was most likely because she was a woman, and then he said some kind of a slur to her, too. So she just lost it.
I don't think that covers the money disparity there, just $100.
Yeah, I don't think it does either. All right, we're going to talk to Ambassador Heyman coming up right after this.
The top five at five.
Keep listening next hour for your chance with a family four-pack. The 11th annual Blackhawks Convention at the Chicago Hilton, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. All right, Ambassador Bruce Heyman is in the studio with us. He's the most wanted man in America right now.
He is. Very busy man.
If you've turned on cable news today, you have seen him anywhere from the Fox, in the last 24 hours, from the Fox News Channel to CNBC to CNN. What am I missing?
A lot of Canadian TV, too.
And Canadian TV. I don't get as much Canadian TV.
CNBC.
And I get it. I just don't understand it. All right, so let's talk about what happened here. I mean, you're the former ambassador from the United States to Canada.
Right.
And you you left your office in January of 2017.
January 20th at high noon.
Now, Justin Trudeau.
Yes.
And you've spent a sizable amount of time with Justin Trudeau.
That's correct.
Do you think that, how much of this do you think on behalf of the Prime Minister and our President is stagecraft, and how much of it should we be worried about?
Well, I think you should be worried about stagecraft, especially when the stagecraft has to do with your best friend, your biggest trading partner, your next door neighbor, and honestly, the most beloved country that Americans feel about by Gallup polls people all the time. But here's what happened. And let me just take a minute to tell you this story, because actually the news of the weekend and all the stuff with Trudeau and Trump and the drama actually started a couple of weeks ago. And what happened was, I believe that the president's team was undermining this G7 meeting for weeks. They started with that steel and aluminum tariff that went in on June the 1st, and they did it to all the people coming to the G7 meeting, basically. So they knew what they were doing was disrupting this, Rob. And so,
why do you think they wanted to do this?
Because I think that the president wants to disrupt all of the organized structures that exist. And I use the word liberal democratic order. I don't mean liberal like in progressives Democrats left, right. But the structures that were set up in the post-World War II period of time.
Liberal democracies meaning places in which individuals, citizens can go and vote their leaders.
That's correct. Yeah. And so he is all about disrupting all of that. Now, the interesting mindset I think that the president has is every deal, it doesn't matter who it is, every deal that the U.S. has done in the last 50 years, somehow we've been taken advantage of. Amazing how America has gotten through all of that and become the best and largest developed country in the world and being taken advantage to this extreme. But it's his belief. So he has jettisoned off, you know, all of these various trading agreements.
This is a long-held belief, though. The CNN ran a piece from him from 1999, interview he did with Wolf Blitzer in 1999, in which he was espousing all these exact same things.
Exactly. I think he believes this, okay? And so as a result of that, his disruption of our allies, of Western Europe, of Japan, of Canada, and disrupting that whole group, I think was a mission. And so you wouldn't go lay that on a whole group of people, those tariffs, if you were going to go see them in 9 days. I mean, hey, I'm coming to the party, by the way. I just gave you this ginormous bill. And then what does he do? The rumors start coming out of the White House whether he's going to come or not. You and I had talked about that. He ends up coming on Friday. But what he does before he gets on the plane, he says, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we just add Russia to the party? And everybody, you know, he knew exactly what he was doing. There was no way you're going to add Russia to the party with the Europeans who just watch him take over Crimea. 10,000 people are dead, shot down that airplane over the Ukraine, and all those people died, poisoned the people in the UK, got involved in all these elections. You think he's going to get, you know, of course not. But he threw that out. Comes to the weekend, shows up late, misses the Macron meeting, then announces he's leaving early, does a surprise press announcement. By the way, there was a meeting that went before that where it was they were funding women and girls in education around the world. The U.S. didn't put a dime in. They opted out. And he shows up late while they're all meeting, kind of strolling in after the whole thing.
He showed up late for the breakfast on the Saturday morning.
Exactly. Right. So he shows up late, calls this press meeting, has this impromptu meeting. It was not planned.
Mm-hmm.
And at that meeting, he then says, we're going to get an NAFTA agreement, and it's going to include the sunset clause, which is the clause that was never going to be accepted by the partners, because it means that the whole deal just
that
fades
NAFTA
away.
NAFTA would have a 5-year deal, and nobody, even Republicans, I can't. The one thing you're seeing, even our friend Adam Kinzinger was saying, you can't do that because no one's going to invest, as you made the point, Ambassador, right, last week to us. No one is going to invest in a car plant in Canada if they think that the NAFTA deal is going to go south in 5 years, because the plant's not going to be done for 3.
Correct. So then he leaves. He jumps on the plane. He takes off. Now, I listened very carefully to the Prime Minister's speech. I know him. I've heard him speak a million times over. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but yeah, a lot.
Right.
He was respectful, but firm enough, because every other country said they're going to have to retaliate against these tariffs and everything. So from the airplane, the president goes right at Justin Trudeau, makes all of these derogatory remarks, and says, I'm out of this agreement that we all reached over the last few days. So he, based on Justin Trudeau's comments, so he said, that I'm going to be out of the agreement with all of you. Okay? So I don't believe he was going to be in that agreement anyway. He was looking for an out, and he was going to do it on the plane regardless. And you know why? Because Navarro, on the next day, after he was saying all
Peter
the
Navarro, special assistant to the president.
That's what I think got a lot of people.
That got a lot of people mad, because he basically said there's a special place in hell for the, you know, basically the prime minister. But there was something else he said. And he said that we opted out of this socialist agreement. Mm-hmm. And the way he said it said, aha, they weren't going to be party of this agreement regardless of what Justin Trudeau said. So the fact of the matter is, this whole thing is staged. It was throwing the G7 under the bus. Throwing Trudeau under the bus, because you know what? He had a narrative against Mexico all along on this NAFTA deal.
Right.
Now he's built his own narrative against Canada. It's not true, everyone. Canada is our best friend. They have a trading relationship with us. We have a surplus. By the way, he's talked about milk. We have, U.S. sells more milk to Canada than they buy, you know, than they sell to us. So we have a surplus. We have a surplus in agriculture, and we have a surplus in steel. This is our best trading relationship in the world, and he's throwing it under the bus.
I think it's the escalation in the language that struck a lot of people. What you just said, special place in hell for Prime Minister Trudeau. He's talking about an ally there. He's not talking about someone who's been on the U.S.'s side for a very long time through, you know, a long history. But then you saw Larry Kudlow also get out and say, the prime minister stabbing us in the back. There's this escalation here that you wonder, where do you
They both use that term, by the way. Both Kudlow and also Navarro use the term stab in the back. It clearly came from the president.
Messaging points.
It clearly came. Now, what you did not see is any cabinet member come out and say anything. This was all in the West Wing and this group. I specifically came out based on Peter Navarro's comments.
No, wait, we should say what you came out and did, because we haven't set that up yet. That's you've been making news all over the planet today, literally all over the planet, where Ambassador Hayman is requested an apology from Peter Navarro on behalf of the United States to Justin Trudeau and Canada for his statement that there's a special place in hell.
You don't say, as a representative of the President of the United States, as a senior person in the White House, that you don't say there's a special place in hell for a leader of a country, okay? Unless we're going to get ready for military action, I don't think you even say that. But this isn't just any leader. This is our next-door neighbor, member of the G7, member of NATO, our most comprehensive trading partner. We share these great lakes with them, and anybody who knows a Canadian, and I bet there are a lot of people here, they are the nicest people on the planet Earth. And not only and there
and
are
there's
best
a lot
buddies.
Of families that cross the border. I mean, there are a ton of, especially in the 20th century, if you came from Eastern Europe or Central Europe, that you've got family in Canada and in the United States.
That's exactly right.
And it's just a, to me, it It is just, it's a shocking disruption. I mean, this is a disruption for the sake of the disruption of it. And then for him to ask for Putin to be in it. Now, something else needs to be pointed out here, too. And for those who go, well, you know, Russia's a big country. We should, you know, listen to the president. He's right. Russia is not a big country. Russia in land mass is a gigantic country. But Russia, in terms of an economic power, doesn't qualify to be in the G8. There are four other countries that have a bigger GDP than Russia that are not in the G8, right, or the G7.
I think we trade something, what is it, like $27 billion with Russia, and with Canada, it's $670 billion.
Gee, say that again.
That puts it in perspective. I think,
$27 billion in trade with Russia between the United States.
But I know what it is for Canada. It's like $673 billion.
Okay. So why are you making it, when you have two-thirds of $1 trillion in trade, why are you trying to make an enemy with that country, and you're trying to kiss up to a country that is a very small trading partner at the end of the day with the United States, and the only reason they are a strategic nuclear ally. Adversary. That is the only reason, and the ally that protects us from the Soviet missile battery is Canada. Canada has the NORAD system in Canada that actually protects us. So it's the early warning system. So if they launch over the polar ice cap, I hate to drag Tom Skilling into this, but over the polar ice cap, if those missiles come in, it's the Canadians who tell us. I mean, this is an absolutely insane move on behalf of the president of the United States. I do not get it. And to tick off Angela Merkel and the rest of the, you know, to me, the scary thing is that the lessons of World War II are not just forgotten, they're being willfully ignored now. Why? Who benefits from that?
I think the other thing that, and I totally agree with you, the other thing is that I think that the president is judging our relationships just on dollar and cents. And I said all along, I think the U.S. will lose a trade war with Canada because the relationship is worth more than just dollars and cents. They've been there for us. Everybody knows the story of Argo when the ambassador took out, you know, our diplomats in Iran at the Ayatollah Khomeini. I knew Ken Taylor before he passed away. And I'm telling you, he is a Canadian hero. Everybody knows the story now of the planes being diverted to Gander, where there's now a play in New York that is a Tony Award-winning play, Come From Away, on 9/11. And by the way, the Canadians were there in Afghanistan. They lost more lives in fatalities on a proportionate basis than the Americans.
And
they've
Iraq,
been there for us.
And in World War II. And in World War I. And, I mean, not in Vietnam, technically.
Right.
But we did, you know, but we've always, but during the Cold War, we have always, without Canada, we would not have been as secure during the Cold War as we were against the Russians.
Right.
And to be turning this around now because Vladimir Putin might have a pee-pee tape is ridiculous to me, because there's no other explanation for this whatsoever. And the president is tough. Today, new sanctions were just levied on Russia by the U.S. government. And at the same time, Trump is trying to say, oh, but we need to have Putin in, you know, our little club here, because he's trying not to personally tick off Putin. Even though the government realizes that the Russians interfered in our election, they continued to interfere, and they continue to interfere in terms of they continue to break U.S. law in terms of how they are trying to secure money in the United States and trying to launder money through the United States. And what do we do as Americans? What do we do? We want to stop that. The Department of Justice wants to stop that. The Department of State, for whom you worked, Ambassador, wants to stop that. But the rhetoric of the president is, hey, Putin's my friend. It's very disconcerting, because it makes no sense.
Can I pivot back to Canada for a second?
Yes.
Everybody on this call, if you know a Canadian, they're kind of feeling really bummed out right now with the president and his whole team going at not only the prime minister, but they're saying all of these disparaging things about Canada. Take a minute. Tell a Canadian how much you appreciate the relationship next door. Tell them how much you know that the United States values this relationship and we'll get through this time. Visit Canada. Take a trip. It's so beautiful there.
I'll be there July 7th.
I'm just going to tell you, they are our best friend, and we're doing harm to this relationship. But all of us on the radio today can go out and make a difference.
And can you call Justin and get him on the phone, and we'll tell him that personally?
If he led the tour, I know a lot of people might be interested in going. I'm just saying.
I would be.
Yeah. Right, I know.
I hope he's getting a little rest after this weekend.
Hopefully tourism a little bit.
Hopefully his wife doesn't go.
Violetta!
Always has to ruin it. She's got to watch the kids.
Always has to ruin it.
One step too far.
Ambassador, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ambassador.
I know you've had an incredible day on the world stage today, and it's very nice of you to end it right here with us.
We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you, Chicago.
We have now Judy telling us what's coming up at the top of the hour. Net neutrality officially ended today. What does that mean for you? This is the one story that affects all of us.
It totally does. The internet is trending all day today because things really changed today in a big way.
And most people's eyes just glaze over because they're like, net neutrality. What
right.
is it?
But oh. this is, but I mean, we all use the internet in some way, shape, or form almost every minute of every day. And what does this really mean for us? Maggie Reardon is with us. She is a senior reporter for CNET. And if it happens on the internet, CNET knows about it and reports on it. And Maggie, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it. All right, so what is the first thing that consumers are likely to notice here today or in the days coming?
Well, actually, to be honest, people probably aren't going to notice anything today or tomorrow or even next week. But this is a big policy change. And really, what it means is now your broadband provider has a lot more control over what they can do. There are no rules basically telling them that they can't block access or throttle or charge an extra fee to a company like Netflix to reach consumers faster. And so really, the government is basically saying, you know, just trust your broadband provider that they're not going to abuse this power.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
That's always been the way. Business, whenever you take the handcuffs off business, they always act in the most responsible way they possibly could. Thank you so much. We won't do another thing. Don't worry about it.
They could really the way I understand it, they could really, broadband companies and ISPs could really start picking winners and losers. If they wanted to speed up access to something like Netflix over Hulu, they could, based on how much they paid for it or, you know, fees they could charge. The New York Times could load faster than a local news site. You could do kind things that would totally pick winners and losers in terms of business.
Exactly. But the thing is that these changes that could happen, and this is all still theoretical, they're likely to happen kind of more slowly. And so consumers, like I said, that, you know, you probably didn't notice anything when you logged on today or
I did.
When you log on tomorrow.
Well, I'm a hypochondriac, so
sure.
I noticed immediately. I believe that
you read the story and then boom, it happened.
Right. My phone immediately started acting differently. I did get something from AT&T. I have no idea what this is related to in any way, shape, or form. I doubt it's related to this. But for the first time ever, I got an ad from AT&T on my phone. Like, they texted me an ad.
Are they allowed to do that?
I've never received that before. Huh. And today, of all days, and that made me very happy and joyful.
Yeah, and Netflix is broken, by the way.
Is it?
Tonight, when I was trying to get my kids to watch something on TV.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but not really related to net neutrality, although my husband swears that it is.
Yes. But, well, I'm with your husband on this. I'm completely paranoid about everything. Listen, there's never been a better time to be paranoid about things in America than right now. You might as well just take advantage of it.
I think that one of the more troubling parts of this, and you're right, it's not happening today or tomorrow or next week, but you just feel as if there'll be financial incentives for broadband providers to start determining who has, you know, whose service works faster, or also the censoring of content. I think that's the other piece of this that sort of could start to be take shape.
That I sort of liken it to is, you know, I'm old enough to remember when cable TV first came out, you know, and there was MTV, everybody was super psyched, and, you know, it was really cool and fun and not that expensive. You know, I think it was maybe $10, $20 extra a month to subscribe to cable TV way back when it started in the 70s and 80s. Well, now, I mean, everybody's cable bill is like,
oh my god,
$200.
It's a car payment.
And they have a lot of control over the content that you see. I mean, that's kind of changing a bit now because of the internet, but that's what I think the real fear here is among net neutrality supporters, is as this policy changes and as the internet economy continues to develop, and now I would say that it's getting to be kind of a more mature market,
sure,
rather than what it was, say, 20 years ago, mm-hmm, you know, we could see the evolution really change here, and in another 10, 15, 20 years, things could look a lot different than they do today.
Well, mature in many ways, but if you look at metro areas, that you may have a choice for who's going to be your service provider. But if you're in more rural areas or some places, you just have one choice, and that's it.
This doesn't
exactly
seem fair.
But by mature, I mean companies like Google, Facebook.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
Netflix. These are now really big companies that really, you know, control a lot of the internet economy. You know, that wasn't the case 15 years ago. These companies were all just kind of starting out. And so that level playing field was really important and was sort of there because everybody was just coming up. You know, now we're in a market where you have these really large companies that already control so much of what people access. And, you know, now you've got the broadband providers who want to compete with them. And they can determine who gets access. And companies like Google and Netflix, they'll be able to pay the extra fee to reach customers more quickly. It'll be the upstarts and the companies that no one's even invented yet that might struggle. And that could be something that could hurt consumers down the long run. And the problem is we may never know because those companies may just never get off the ground.
Well, you look at something like an Amazon, which is already a behemoth to try to deal with if you want to launch a commerce site or try to sell without going through Amazon. It's already a difficult process. But if you start creating a situation where the way your traffic is handled is either faster or slower, it would be even a greater disadvantage.
I would imagine, going against you could choke Amazon. If you're at Comcast, so how many major internet service providers are there in the country? Do you even know that answer? It's not that many compared to what one would imagine there should be, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in the Chicago area, you only really, your choices are AT&T in terms of, you know, lines to your house, let's say. Then, your choices are Comcast, right? Xfinity, as it's called here, but it's Comcast company. You've got RCN. You have AT&T, obviously.
Yeah.
And I guess I think Verizon has a product too. I'm not sure if it's up in this, you know, in this metropolitan area, but I mean, if you're one company that wants to make a difference, you could always say, hey, listen, we're not slowing anybody down. It's a level playing field here. And that might be an advantage as a marketing tool for people to pay for your service as opposed to something else. But I mean, there's a moment where they can a la carte you. If you really are a Netflix user and you want Netflix, then, you know, not only do you have to pay Netflix the money, you may have to pay your internet service provider extra money to give Netflix that bandwidth. I mean, it's a crazy thing.
It is. It really is.
It's a crazy
thing. Yeah, and actually, you know, the FCC chairman is actually saying that, you know, he believes that not having these rules is actually going to bring more competition in exactly what you're talking about, which is the providers who are building out the pipes right to your home, right, that provide you that internet service. He's saying that with sort of this regulatory overhang, that there's less incentive for those companies to invest in building out infrastructure. So, I mean, that's what he says. We'll have to see if this spurs any kind of, you know, spending in that area. But, you know, the net neutrality supporters say that this fight isn't over. They're going to continue. You know, there are a lot of states who are trying to pass laws to protect net neutrality. There are lawsuits going on. Congress is trying to do something. So the fight really, I mean, it may be officially off the books today, but the fight still has a long way to go.
No, we'll wait till somebody's, series. You know, wait till somebody can't get Game of Thrones when they want to get it. Look out. All hell's going to break loose when the new season comes out. All right. Thank you so much, Maggie. Thank you so much. I know it's dinner time and we took you away, so we appreciate your time here.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you. Maggie Reardon from CNET, who's always great to come on with us. Mm-hmm. All right. Stay right here. First of all, Judy, tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Illinois Republicans say keep Blagojevich locked up. It's quite shocking news.
I know. The traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Chicago is hosting the ultimate month-long food festival. It's this August. Visit ctfoodbowl.com to get your seat at the table.
All right. That does it for another, almost another day of broadcast insolence. So many people I want to thank here. We had Karen Travers from ABC in Singapore reporting to us. Steve Stone, of course, joins us every Monday. And Ambassador Bruce Hayman, who made international news today, former ambassador to Canada, was all over the news asking for an apology from the White House economics advisor, Peter Navarro, for what he said about Justin Trudeau. I mean, this is it's just a weird thing. Now, here's the deal. Yeah. We are just hours away from this summit, hours away from this meeting. It's going to be 45 minutes between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, and then just the two of them alone in a room staring at each other with interpreters.
I know, which is breaking, again, with tradition. But
you guys hosting watch parties or anything like that?
Yes, yeah.
Snacks and invite some friends over.
Nuke bombs.
I just love the idea
Singapore slings.
Now, if I am Kim Jong-un, I've already done my due diligence on Donald Trump, which took me exactly 5 minutes of research.
Okay, and so what are you doing? What are you going with?
I get the hottest North Korean woman you can find who speaks English as the interpreter.
Yeah, you think that
just
throws him off?
Just to distract him.
I think that throws him off?
Convince him to do anything.
Or do I know that throws
Come
him
on.
Off?
Well, he might try to puff up even more in front of her, though.
Yeah.
Really show his might.
Yeah, I don't know. But you know how she can kind of roll it. You know, sort of like a. I think there's a way. I think it's a lose-lose-lose is all I would like to say right there.
I'm having Korean barbecue in my watch party.
Yes, it's hot right now.